contre la tyrannie. Anarcho-panda, tu marches avec nous. Si tout le monde voit que c'est nous les gentils, c'est un peu grâce à toi et tes bisous. Oh, oh, anarcho-panda. Ami ou ennemi, à tes câlins tous ont le droit. Ils verront bien que l'anarchie peut être douce dans tes bras. Anarcho-panda contre la tyrannie. Anarcho-panda, tu marches avec nous. Si tout le monde voit que c'est nous les gentils, c'est un peu grâce à toi et tes bisous.
Bisous, bisous, bisous.
Anarcho-panda, tu marches avec nous.
Farming movement is rolling across North America and making major headway, especially at universities.
Students at the McDonald campus of McGill University are bringing this movement home. The McDonald Student Run Ecological Garden, or MSEG, cultivates the beautiful land surrounding the West Island McGill campus.
Students are at the heart of this initiative by learning and practicing a renewable form of agriculture. We are trying to promote the knowledge of how to build a food system that benefits our environment.
We produce vegetables, build community, and reduce the destructive impacts of existing globalized food systems.
We invite members of the community to come check out the fields, to connect to the land and experience firsthand the food growing process.
For more information, go to mseg.weebly.com. That's MSEG.weebly.com.
We'll be hosting the June 12th edition of Equilibrium.
So tune in to find out more about what we do, how we do it, and why.
This is a public service announcement.
What you should know if you get detained by the police at a student demonstration. Note that this is not legal advice and we are not lawyers. This is a recommendation. Upon arrest, the only information you have to give the police is your name, date of birth, and address. You have the right to not answer any further questions. You should always have a lawyer number with you. Once you've been ticketed, contest your ticket by signing it, indicating the date, and checking not guilty. Don't write anything else, no explanations, and don't indicate a motive. Scan your ticket and email it to poitradenis@gmail.com. That's poitradenis@gmail.com. With a phone number you can be reached at, as well as your version of the facts. If you don't have access to a scanner, you can fax it to 514-289-1729. Next step, mail it to the municipal court. Stay safe.
You have the right to free speech.
Welcome back to This Is Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. In our next piece segment, we will hear CHEB's DIE's National Director, Catherine Legault, introducing the actions CHEB DIE Canada is undertaking in order to fight human trafficking locally, nationally, and internationally. Audrey O. Breham also spoke with volunteers who attended the organization's Day of Action training called Advocacy for Action and gathered their impressions about the workshop and their experiences.
Hi, my name is Catherine Legault, and I'm the Executive Director of CHEB DIE Canada, an organization working against human trafficking. I'm going to share with you a bit about my journey in the fight against human trafficking. My journey started about 10 years ago when I was walking in the street of Phuket in Thailand, when a man approached me and he asked me which boy I wanted from his photo book of naked young boys. I was shocked, I was angry, and I was very disturbed by the reality that I was facing. When I returned to Canada, I began researching and I discovered that what I had witnessed was called human trafficking. And that it not only existed in Thailand or developing countries, but it even happened here in my own country, Canada, and in Montreal as well. After I was made aware of human trafficking, I knew that this was the cause I would devote my life to, but in order to develop more knowledge and skills, I decided to complete a degree in international law at the University of Montreal. About 3 years ago, I became the ambassador of an organization working against human trafficking, and I organized a walk and a fundraising event in Montreal. And it's through that event that I met Julia Smith. She's the coordinator of the organization Chabdai Canada. And I eventually attended a conference about the organization Chabdai International. The mission and the work of that organization resigned with what I found was lacking and needed, and the fight against human trafficking. So I was very enthusiastic when I was offered a new position as the executive director of Chabdai Canada. The organization's vision is to work together to end sexual abuse and human trafficking. Chabdai means joining hands in Khmer. It's the Cambodian language. Chabdai was founded in 2005 in Cambodia as a coalition to build collaboration among organizations working against human trafficking and sexual abuse. Chabdai works according to the idea that in order to create a strong front against human trafficking, collaboration, share knowledge, and networking is the key to success. Chabdai Canada was founded in 2009 and works toward coalition building, awareness raising, and advocacy amongst Canada-based anti-trafficking organizations. Chabdai Canada focuses on the issue of human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation in Canada and Cambodia, and also across the globe. Human trafficking is the sell, the transport, and profit from human beings who are forced to work for others. It's the modern equivalent slavery. Human trafficking always involves exploitation, and the victim may be forced into labor, prostitution, or some other form of servitude. Trafficking in person is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world. Chabdai Canada main projects are the Freedom Registry, advocacy and awareness, and training and capacity building. The Advocacy for Action is an event in which citizens can take action against human trafficking. What we do in that event, we train the volunteers on the issue of human trafficking, and then we have a more specific training on how to raise awareness about this issue amongst merchants. And then we go into small teams of two or three people to go in the streets of Montreal and educate the merchants on the issue of human trafficking. We do this project in collaboration with the RCMP and the police of Montreal.
I'm at the Chabdai meeting. It's in downtown Montreal. I'm basically here to learn more about human trafficking. I know it's a global phenomenon, and it even happens here in Canada. I just want to learn in more detail what goes on, the psychological and physical effects to the victim, and what's being done to help them. What I've learned so far, that it's a global thing. It's something that has to be dealt with. It's very serious, and people need to be made more aware of it. We have to go around to local businesses and maybe even schools, going to universities and colleges, and because most people are not aware. I was never aware before I heard about Chabdai.
One of our main projects is called the Freedom Registry, which is an online directory of services to victims of human trafficking and of other human trafficking stakeholders in Canada. It will map and record services to victims of human trafficking in Canada. It will also connect and collaborate with other anti-trafficking organizations, and it will broadly disseminate findings and establish referral networking, and it will also conduct gap area review. We also have another project which is called Advocacy and Awareness, and the objective of that project is to advocate on behalf of victims and survivors of human trafficking by raising awareness at a local and national level and by engaging people at grassroots level to act and speak out against human trafficking. We do that through different activities such as the Advocacy for Action Day, awareness walk and relay. We also have different activities that raise awareness, the public speaking conferences that we do.
Bonjour, mon nom est Marie-France. C'est la deuxième fois que j'ai une session de Chabdai sur la traite des humains. C'est quelque chose que je pense qu'il faut briser les tabous, qu'on puisse parler, qu'on puisse communiquer, informer, qu'on soit plus éduqué sur le sujet. On peut faire déjà une différence. Les arguments sont très forts pour convaincre. C'est des choses qu'on parle maintenant dans la famille. Il y a beaucoup de préjugés qu'on a aussi par rapport ici à Montréal à la prostitution, qui n'ont rien à voir avec ce qu'on pense par rapport juste au pourcentage prostituées qui sont forcées. En fait, c'est pas des prostituées, c'est des gens que l'on prostitue. C'est vraiment une chose à faire la différence dans le domaine des bars de danseuses. La demande est là, puis les demandeurs sont juste pas au courant que ces gens-là sont forcés de faire ça, de juste rentrer dans un bar de danseuses, puis tu vois qu'il y a personne qui sourit là. Des témoignages des deux personnes qui s'en ont sorties, qui ont été forcées de se prostituer, je trouve que c'est déjà très fort comme argument. C'est évident que c'est un black market. Puis c'est à nous de voir si on veut encourager ça ici, à Montréal, ou dans nos grandes villes au Canada, ou même dans banlieue. Ça existe partout. Puis c'est vraiment dommage parce que c'est des jeunes femmes, c'est les enfants, c'est notre relève. Je veux pas encourager ça, je veux essayer d'en parler. J'ai de la difficulté quand mes amis disent « Ah, oh, on va fêter l'enterrement du garçon dans un bar », puis que si les gens sont comme « Ah, OK, est-ce que vous savez vraiment ce que vous encouragez? » Même si je suis jeune, puis je veux être in, puis je peux pas dire que j'encourage ça. S'il y a de la demande, il va y avoir toujours de l'offre. C'est d'être conscient qu'est-ce qu'on encourage dans notre société. Puis je pense que c'est pas la bonne chose.
We also do training and capacity building, and the objective is to enable and share knowledge based on international best practice with organizations, universities, and practitioners committed to working against human trafficking and sexual exploitation either in Canada or overseas. Some projects that we have are trainings for social workers, we have training for caregivers, and we also do teachings in high school called Youth Rising Up Against Human Trafficking Project. And it's about strengthening the youths in making their voices heard and translating their ideas into action.
Welcome back to Off the Hour here at CKUT 90.3 FM. The time is now 5:41. If you would like to know how you can get involved in the fight of human trafficking in Montreal, you may contact CDAB, the Canadian National Director, Catherine Legault at catherine.legault@cdab.org, or to omit future obtain future information about CDAB, you could visit their website. It's www.cdab.org. June 1st to the 7th marks the Semaine du Handicap in Quebec. We are now here to turn it over to Gary Gay, the Avalanche, who will introduce our next segment.
Hi, T.U. and Maria, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Do you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Could you, either of you, I guess I would like to start with Tia since I know Maria, so please be patient, Maria. I'll get to you in a few seconds. Tia, tell us and our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background and about your Living Lab projects and some of the things we discussed over the phone this morning.
Sure. My name is Tia Poltma. I am an interior designer in background. I have about 30 years of experience doing interiors for various types of people in all kinds of situations. I'm also a teacher at the Université de Montréal. I am a full professor there, and I am also a researcher with the CREER, which is the Centre de Recherche Interdisciplinaire en Réadaptation de Montréal Métropolitaine. So we are the Centre for Rehabilitation in Montreal, Centre for Research, and we are working on a project called the Rehabilitation Living Lab, which is creating inclusive environments for persons with disabilities. My interest in this stems from a long many years of experience in looking at interior environments, in helping people in all kinds of situations, ages and stages of life, to match the interior living environment, whether it's a public space or a commercial space or environment or a university or a college, to the people who use it, to the people who have the experiences within that space. And I've been a chair chairperson at Dawson College, and now I'm over at University of Montreal. But I still have an interest in how, if you like, in practice, issues of adaptation affect people, the ability of people to be able to arrive and navigate and experience an environment the way they would like to for their various needs. So the I got involved in the Rehabilitation Living Lab project with Eva Kehaya and Bonnie Swain, who are the co-research, co-scientific directors at the CREER. And we thought it would be, and the CREER specializes in helping people to adapt back using services of multiple research and hospital sites to help people after various traumas, who have illnesses, who are in rehabilitation to come back, you know, into society and to be able to come back and use services and so on. And that's a very, very brief way of describing the multiple services that CREER and the different sites provide. But we thought it would be interesting to look at some of the obstacles and you know, things that might stop people from going into a commercial space such as a mall, and how we could help support CREER's mission, which is to contribute comprehensively to the autonomy and social integration of persons with physical disabilities through basic research, all kinds of different research that we do.
Thank you, Thea. I just want to get to Maria a bit. Maria, you work with Eco Access, and you have some dealings with interior design and the principles that also include inclusion and in the commercial and domestic environments. Can you sort of tell us a little bit about yourself for our listeners and how the project with that you'll be working on, and also if you have had any contact with the Living Lab before, and so I leave it to you right now.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
As you said, the Alec Neon project is much wider than just those of us who are working on two or three different projects. The project I'm involved in with you is to look at barriers and facilitators for persons with shoppers with disability, both physical and sensorial. We have one project where four of us are looking at the environment itself and whether it is following the standards that have been put together by Canadian Standard Association. That is one project. The second project is with regard to having people come with us and look at the various parts of the mall and see if it's comfortable and they feel good when they shop and when they when they're there for whatever reason. You know, there is a medical center in the shopping mall. There's people meet to just have coffee. It is located across Dawson College, so the students from Dawson go there with their laptops. And instead of being in the library doing homework there at a mall, that's not always possible for someone in a wheelchair, especially in winter, because the entrance, the internal entrance via the Alec Neon Metro is not accessible for persons in wheelchairs.
So that in itself is an obstacle and a problem and a barrier,
Yes, it is. That said, for people in wheelchairs, there are some areas of the mall which are much darker than others, and that makes it more difficult for someone with a visual impairment. There's not much accessibility, and this is true for any mall, not just Alex Neon. For someone who wants to go to the restaurant, the Foire de Nourriture.
For food. Yeah.
For food.
Yeah. So those are, you know, someone who's deaf and wants to order food, that makes it a little more difficult because of the noise and everything. That's true, like I said, from different shopping mall. So that says a little bit about how I'm involved in the project.
Yeah, to either of you, either to you or Maria, do you find that as time evolves or our generation evolves, that some of the obstacles or problems are more or less the same or have reoccurred or have not changed? Or I can only think of one example. There is a Dollarama in the shopping mall, and I thought it was well done and well in terms of using the space, in terms of access to all the merchandise, and at least between the rows were well done, and also there was significant and sufficient amount of space in order to respect and facilitate the use of wheelchairs, either with accompaniment or either motorized. And one of the things that I noticed a while back, and it's
Gary,
been modernized. Yes?
Gary, I could suggest, I think there's two things you bring up right away that are important for everyone to know. One is the newer stores, as you just said, I think they are better. I think there's more effort made to have wider aisles, more ability to move around, and to actually provide easier access within the store. In the case of Plaza Alex Neal and the issue of the obstacles, like we mentioned, the stairs and the lack of a ramp, these are older existing conditions. And one of the things I want to note is that this particular mall, the management is really on board with supporting the research we're doing, and that changes are going to come in part because of this research that we are doing. And why it's so important for Maria and myself and the others to do this is to make aware the malls about how people not only access within spaces, but also how you get to them and how to have the people from Dawson have easier access and so on. So I think you're right. I think right now store designs are improving, but I think public spaces and particularly older buildings have to bring themselves up to date. And that's one of the great things about this project is that the mall, the developers providing us the opportunities to show them what is actually problematic and what people actually need.
Okay.
Hi, this is Stefan. I'm another member of the Avalanche. I have a question. Where is the most accessible, like a really good accessible shopping mall? Like, if it's not Canada or anywhere else, is there's any place like that?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure if I have an answer for that right now. I would say that it depends on where you go. I would say, I don't know, Maria, if you have an answer for that.
I don't think we've done enough research to be able to pinpoint the best. I think each mall has, like Tio was saying, the newer one have, because they're following a newer code, have better access in some areas. But that would be an interesting project to do, perhaps.
And maybe to situate, Maria, one of the things you and I found out is that malls generally follow code and they are, quote-unquote, accessible. But mm-hmm. there's a difference between being accessible by the rules of a building code and really easily accessible for everybody on equal terms. Am I right, Maria?
Yes, of course, because the code itself only requires minimum.
Whereas that's right.
In some cases, as you know, some architects and some builders actually go a little bit further and make things better. One of
absolutely.
The examples was when I was up in England lately, I went to a shopping mall where everything went even beyond their own code and sort of blended and married accessibility with aesthetic, and everything is beautiful and accessible. We have some of this here, too.
Well, mm-hmm. One last conclusion. We're going to round it up because, unfortunately, we're pressed for time. I'd like to thank you two very much, and I'd like to just say that I appreciate it, as well as all our listeners. And I would like to say
thanks a lot.
That it's, you know, this kind of interest that is very useful and very important that can contribute a kind of positive action towards socializing some of the people to the problems of accessibility, universal design, and inclusion. So I, on my behalf and the station and the people of Avalanche, Maria, I hope to see you soon. And I say thank you. And to Tiu also, I've only met you on the phone twice, but I think I like you already, so I hope to see you shortly as well. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, thank
you're welcome.
You.
Thank you. You for giving us time.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Bye
thanks
now.
Very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
But forever live in chains, and we battle to exist, and on. We'll take whatever comes to be while keeping hopeful melody, and we'll cruise through the darkness until the warmth of dawn. So roll, roll, you bastards, you never can tell, through water like glass, above a briny hell. So roar and holler, come give her all you can, or the sea she will best us, we'll never see the land.
We carry on the burden and we hide our grim as well, for the day will come for us to mutiny. But as long as we survive, our hope and pride they can't deprive, and we'll carry on our melody to sing in harmony.
So roll, roll, you bastards, you never can tell, over water like glass, above a briny hell. So roll, oh, holler, come give her all you can, or the sea she will best us, we'll never see the land.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news? I'm brought to you live.
That does it for the show. For this edition of the hour. Produced it by Montreal. Produced it by Montreal's News Collective. My name is Stefan, and it has been your host, Gary hosted, and like that, and teched. I teched, and like that. Special thanks to Bryson, Gary and Ann, Aaron and Aunt Audrey, and all our guests. Here at CKUT, we are over 50 volunteers. We are not giving our plants to the police, and we will not ask for permission to broadcast the show. Thanks also due to all who make education and inspiring radio here at CKUT possible. For more information or anything you heard tonight, or if you would